Alrighty, hey there everybody. Welcome to today's session. This is Jared Morris. I'll be hosting today's session. Brian Clark, Chris Garrett are here with me, and we're going to be talking about Rainmail. Brian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing very well. Very, very well. I've been excited about this session for a while, so I'm glad that it's here. A lot of good stuff to talk about today. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good, and lots of people from many, many places, USA, lots of representing Texas and California and Phoenix, Arizona, Oklahoma. It's lots of USA people today. Interesting to see the furthest. Oh, we've got John from Calgary, so representing my hometown, Toronto.
There's a lot of Texas, even a Dallas. Look at that.
We've got Switzerland as well. So San Antonio, Edmonton, Alberta, lots of Canadians. So that's good.
Very nice. And the Dominican Republic as well.
Yeah.
All yes, Texas is big. That is true. And doesn't Texas like to let you know that it's big?
Not saying a word.
Yes. All righty. You guys ready to get going?
Yep.
All right. Let's do it. All right, welcome everybody to the first of what will be many of these customer-only Rainmaker platform educational webinars. Our topic today is the feature of the platform that we are currently getting the most questions about because it's still, you know, on the newer side and because the feature set is expanding so quickly, and that is Rainmail. And so we're dedicating today's session to Rainmail, and we have more planned for the future as new features get added and as Rainmail grows in power and possibility. And we have three main objectives for this session. Okay, really, I guess four main objectives for this session. The first one is to make sure that you understand the basics of how Rainmail works and how it integrates with Rainmaker. So we're going to go over that real quick. Then the second objective is to answer some frequently asked questions. Some of the questions that we get the most frequently, we want to make sure that we answer those for all of you in this setting right now. We also want to provide some real-world use cases and examples that you can apply to your own situations, and so we've got a couple of those that we want to share. And finally, we're going to take some time at the end to answer some less frequently asked questions, too, and these are real questions that were submitted by Rainmaker platform users like you for this session in particular. And what I like about these and why you should stick around for them is that they may illuminate ways that you hadn't thought yet to use Rainmail, and you may find a few ideas that you can apply to your own site when we get to that point. So if we don't address a specific topic that you were hoping we'd get to today, don't worry. Number one, our support team is always standing by, ready to help. Also, the knowledge base continues to be more robust in its Rainmail education content. And like I said, we're planning more of these customer-focused training webinars in the future, so there will be opportunities to cover every element of what Rainmail can do so that you can unleash its full power on your sites. All right, Brian, are you ready to roll?
I am.
Chris, ready to roll?
Yeah, I just need to use the mute button correctly.
All righty. All right, well, let's get to it. And real quick, just let me note that we have a lot of ground to cover, a lot of stuff that we want to go over today. So we're not going to really linger on any one slide for too long. But if you do have questions as we go, pose them in the question box. Daisy and Brian are on hand to help you out. And if we don't end up getting around to addressing your question during the presentation, just be sure to make note of it and then submit it for the next Rainmail webinar, and we'll be able to get to it then. All righty. So let's start with some Rainmail basics, and let's go over some of these. So the most basic question, right, what is Rainmail? Well, Rainmail is Rainmaker's built-in, fully integrated email marketing service. And one of the biggest benefits of Rainmaker is that you get your first 999 subscribers included with your Rainmail account. All right, so that's what Rainmail is. How do you set up Rainmail? To set up Rainmail, it's really simple. Inside of your dashboard, go to Settings. So click the little gear icon that you see up in your blue nav bar. That's the settings. And then click Email. Okay, and that will take you to the page where you can set up your Rainmail account. That will take you to this page right here, your email settings. And so the page that you're seeing right here, this is from actually my personal site, the Assembly Call, and I'll be using this for some examples today. And so this is what it looks like when you're already configured. You can see it says Rainmail is configured. If you haven't configured Rainmail yet, then you obviously won't have that notification, but you'll have a button there to configure Rainmail. And all that you'll have to do is go in, configure it, add your billing information, Now, again, as I said, you get those first 999 subscribers included. You just need your billing information on file so that if and when you get to that 1,000 subscriber mark, and of course that's the goal because we all want to build big, robust, growing email lists, that way your billing information is in there. But again, it won't be used until you get to that 1,000. But that's how you get it set up. And then on this page here, once you're set up, you'll be able to see your email lists, and there are different options that you have here for managing your lists. We're going to go over some of those today. As you scroll down on that page then, you have some additional settings. So you can choose from three different default templates, a basic, a template with a sidebar, and then a custom template. You also have the ability to upload your header logo so you get your branding on your emails, alt text, as well as header right text if you choose to have it. And just to give you an example of how that looks, this is an actual email that I sent this morning from the assembly call using Rainmail to our subscribers. And you can see when you upload your header logo, where it goes, where the header right text goes. And I do want to make sure, don't overlook that alt text, because the importance of that is a lot of times in email clients, images don't come up by default. And you actually have to choose to view the images. Well, what will show up in place of the image is that alt text. So you want it to be something descriptive, something that makes sense, so people know that the image is there. And of course, if you're using that for branding, then obviously having your name in there is a good thing to do.
Yeah, and that logo is also used on your confirmation emails. So this is something that a lot of people have asked, how do I brand my confirmation emails? Currently, you can set that logo there, and you can refresh your list if it was an existing list, or any new list will use that logo. What we're working on now is so you can edit the copy of your confirmation email. So look out for that in the release that's coming.
Yep. And by the way, if you have any questions here about the templates and design, hold that thought because we're going to get to that. I've got a nice demo for you to show you that here as we move forward. So that's how you set it up. Now, how do you send Rainmail? How do you actually send messages? So again, in your nav bar, the easiest way to do it is just to hover over that Add New button, and then you'll find two options. So you can send a broadcast email, that's a single blast that you want to send out to your list, and you can also set up autoresponder sequences, and you can attach those autoresponder sequences to specific lists. And so you set those up there in the Add New menu. And then if you want to edit an existing one, or for example with broadcast emails, if you want to see the statistics of a recent message, you can go find your existing broadcast emails and autoresponder sequences using the edit button. And again, you'll find the links there, quick and easy. Now, how do you get help with Rainmail? As questions come up, as you're trying to figure out how to do certain activities, use certain features, how do you get help? Well, the best way to get help is Chris Garrett's direct line. Just call 555-OB17. And Chris, you're going to keep that open 24 hours, correct?
No.
Okay, so scratch that idea. But if you want to get help with Rainmail, frankly, the best way, even better than if you had Chris Garrett's direct line, is if you scroll over the help menu, there's a number of ways in the back end of Rainmail to get help. So first would be toggle the help mode on. And when you toggle that on, you'll see throughout your dashboard green logos. And when you click on those logos, they'll give you insight on how to use that particular feature. And then, of course, the knowledge base, you can either click on the knowledge base or just search Rainmail. Or if you want to know how to find out about tags, search Rainmail tags. The knowledge base continues to be, as I mentioned before, just such a robust resource. And Susan and her team are doing such a great job of adding new articles and new lessons and new tutorials all the time. And you know, I will let you know, as I've gone through and learned, you know, Rainmail and how to use it, I've really tried as much as possible to use it like, you know, like you would use it as a user, not just always go to Chris or ask the developers what to do. And I've been pleasantly surprised every step of the way that it's been so easy to figure out how to do things just using the tutorials there in the back end of the knowledge base. So make sure that you take full advantage of those. And for every feature that we discuss here on this webinar and every use case we show, there are going to be detailed instructions in the knowledge base for how to do it. So if you see something today and we go too fast or you can't catch it, there are instructions there in the knowledge base for how to do it. And of course, if you do have a question, if you need additional help, we're here. So to get help, you can always email support@rainmakerplatform.com. And then certain requests, then they may refer over to our services team, but they'll triage it there for you in support. And either answer it or direct you over to the services team. Alrighty, so before we move on to FAQs, Chris, anything else that you want to add there on Rainmaker Basics as we just try and give folks the general overview of what it is and how it works?
I think we've got it covered. There's more coming up, so.
Okay. Alrighty, well then let's dive in now to some FAQs. And these, as it suggests, these are questions that we get frequently, and so we want to hit these right off the top here and make sure that you have a good understanding of what the answers to these are. So let's start right here from the top. So with the addition of Rainmail and the LMS, can you give us a sense of the strategic direction in which you're taking the platform? For example, who is your target audience for Rainmaker, and what needs do you see them having? Is it bloggers, internet marketers, infopreneurs, small business owners, etc.? So the basic strategic direction is that the Rainmaker platform is an all-in-one integrated digital marketing and sales solution that empowers you to do what you need to do to build an audience, convert customers, and earn higher profits with fewer headaches. That's the basic. Brian, do you want to kind of expound on that in terms of the strategic direction for where the platform's headed?
Yeah, it's as we've mentioned all throughout the development process over the years, we're building the thing that we want to use as a sophisticated online marketing company. And then, Jared, as you and I talk about quite a bit lately, that sophisticated and or advanced is the new normal. And we feel that being an integrated solution, Rainmaker, at least in this market, is a better solution than anything else out there. The only other platform that is integrated like this that you may have heard of course, is HubSpot, and that's not exactly affordable. So that's kind of our goal, and it really boils down, and I know there are some other questions we have coming up that touch on this, but the intersection, the integration of a powerful website builder with email that supports tagging, segmentation, autoresponders, all of the good stuff that we've got built in and will continue to refine, and then marketing automation. When you put those three together, usually what you do is you have a site, maybe it's on WordPress or whatever, and then you tack on your email service, right? And we integrate with lots of other email services if you wish to stay there. And then we have the built-in marketing automation, which is probably the thing you'll see get the most more advanced and sophisticated in the next few coming months as we tie it in directly with email. When you do that, you can create what we've been saying all along is a truly adaptive situation where the site itself can change depending on behavior that happens in email and elsewhere. And Mr. Garrett is going to expound on this because he is the marketing technologist, so I'm going to defer to him to make sure I don't get anything wrong. But I'll just say that I get excited listening to him about it because it opens up the possibilities of what I can do. So we're going to touch on this a little bit more with some other questions, but that's the general statement.
And then in terms of the question about the target audience for Rainmaker is really anyone who wants to use content marketing to sell services, digital products, and subscriptions. Is there anything, Brian, that you would add to that in terms of the audience?
Well, we talk about this a lot because obviously Copyblogger was one of the original, if not the original, content marketing site. We helped popularize it to the $40+ billion a year industry it is now. And the platform is great for general content marketing, no matter what you sell, because, for example, I just did an audio course for my unemployable crowd, basically how to use email marketing to get more and better clients. And we use the LMS for that. We use the membership access. We use the marketing automation triggers. All of this stuff is not tied specifically to digital commerce, which is a different type of business, a different type of entrepreneur, I'd say. That said, though, I think we need a more precise answer, but there's a good, decent split between general content marketers and people who are specifically selling digital products and services. So you might think of Rainmaker as more of that digital commerce platform. And if it turns out that that is the audience we're attracting more from, then so be it. But in my mind, I would use this even if I had an agency or a service business. Because, for example, using a free course not only as a lead magnet, but as a persuasion vehicle, a content marketing structure that gets people to know you, like you, trust you, and hire you as a service professional, I started doing that in 2001. Now, the way I had to do that back then was so primitive, it would be embarrassing compared to what we could do now. And yet it worked. Now, at that time, it was because I was over-delivering compared to my competition. And you still have to do that today. But the cool thing is the technology makes it much, much easier. You don't have to duct tape everything together. It's much more powerful in the automation and the adaptability. And mostly importantly, people are coming to expect outsized value. And, you know, online education is something that people will pay money for. That's the definition of good content marketing, basically giving away something worth paying for to sell something else. So we didn't just make up our marketing strategies because Rainmaker can do it on the content marketing side. It's proven things that we're making a lot easier because I think going back, Jared, to that advanced is a new normal. We need to get prepared for it because I would say that you'll see in the next couple of years that the prospects out there are going to demand a more personalized experience that works without being creepy or intrusive. And that's why we need to start teaching Rainmaker users how to get this stuff done now.
Yeah, and I think with a couple of the use cases that we have later, that's exactly what you'll see. So we'll get to that as we go through in this webinar. And also, seeing lots of questions come in, what's great is we have slides for almost all of these. So stay tuned, and there's a good chance that we'll probably answer your question as we continue moving forward with the presentation. So let's go to the next question. And by the way, most of these questions are ones that were submitted just via the form before this webinar. So we really appreciate all of you guys contributing and submitting so many great questions. So here's one we get a lot. Is there any easy way to switch from my current email provider and maintain all my segmentations, tags, forms, etc., without having to do it all manually? And then will subscribers need to reconfirm? All right. The answer to this is contact services at rainmakerplatform.com, because there is a way to switch and to migrate from your current email provider. And so you want to contact services at rainmakerplatform.com. They'll be able to let you know the process. I did it when I moved my list from ConvertKit over to Rainmail, and it was very simple. And then the question, will subscribers need to reconfirm? And the answer to that is no. Now, what you will need to do is you'll need to confirm to us just that these people opted into you, but I mean, you are our customers, you're our people, we trust you. So, you know, as long as you tell us that these folks confirm their opt-in to you, we're good with that, we trust you, they won't need to reconfirm again when you import your list. Alrighty, moving on to the next question. How does Rainmail compare to other email marketing providers? So this is a great question, and we'll get Brian and Chris's insight on this too. But let me just run down five really simple ways, and I kind of call this the Rainmail difference. All right, so Rainmail gives you everything in one dashboard. So instead of having to go elsewhere for your email marketing and doing things in separate places, everything is there in one dashboard, including your email marketing. In addition to that, as Brian mentioned before, Rainmail is an integrated solution. So it's email with content and landing pages and membership and marketing automation and more all in one in that very same dashboard. Rainmail also allows you to have subscribers and members. So you can have kind of those two different classifications and you can give them adaptable, personalized experiences. In addition to that, Rainmail allows you to adapt content inside of emails based on tags. So you can send out an email, and based on the recipient, they may get something a little bit different from the other person, even though that person was involved in that same email. But you can actually set it up to adapt based on that person, based on tags and what they've done in the past. And then finally, Rainmail is a cost-effective solution that delivers the essential email marketing features that you need. And that's that's important. It may not have every single possible email marketing feature out there, but it has all the essential ones that you need to do effective email marketing, and we know that because we're using it, and that is the lifeblood of our business. So if it's something that we absolutely had to have, it would be there in Rainmail. Brian, anything that you want to add here, just in terms of the Rainmail difference and what separates it, what differentiates it?
I think you covered it except for one thing, and this is, applies to Rainmaker universally, because there has been a trend in the years leading up that we kind of rejected philosophically, which is, you know, different providers for every different thing and gluing it together and trying to make it look right and play right together. And what you have in that situation is when something goes wrong, if you can identify where it's coming from, you've got to figure out which of four or five support providers to contact. And I think the health thing here is because sometimes when you have those duct tape type integrations, you may have a problem that's manifesting itself in one area, but it's really caused by something else. And you're going to get a runaround trying to figure that out because you may contact the wrong people first. With us, it's just us. And our support team has been getting a lot of nice compliments from Rainmaker customers, but it's a top priority for us. We know we have to provide the best possible support we can. And now with the addition of the services department, we're kind of stepping that up a notch where we're actually doing more hands-on fixes and solutions for you as opposed to just answering questions or fixing a bug or something.
Yeah. Yeah, good call. Thanks for adding that. So that's the Rainmail difference. So, you know, now in terms of kind of how Rainmail compares to some other providers, and this is a question that we got here, it seems like ConvertKit is a more powerful service and already integrates with Rainmaker. So what's the advantage of using Rainmail over something like ConvertKit? And related to that, why the choice of FeedBlitz as the back end for Rainmail versus ConvertKit? Because it seems like ConvertKit is way more in alignment with Rainmaker, both on functionality and philosophically. Brian, what kind of insight do you have to provide here?
Yeah, it's so to answer the first thing, aside, and we just had this dev call, so aside from a few nice-to-have things that I've asked that Chris Garrett look into that I notice ConvertKit can do that we don't yet, it does everything ConvertKit does. Now, you've got a different interface, and we're always working to improve that over across the platform, not just an email. But I think if you look closely, there's probably a few handful of things that the two services do not have in parity, and I would suspect in the next month or so, you'll start to see that list disappear. And it is true. We are in aligned with ConvertKit on functionality and philosophy. And here's the interesting thing about your question, because Nathan did approach me about us being or ConvertKit being the Rainmaker solution. Now, there's several, and I want it to because we like those guys. There's two problems with that. Number one, it's still an outside SaaS tacked on to another SaaS, all right? So it is not the perfectly integrated all-in-one solution that we're talking about in terms of website adaptability, changing, you know, what people view on the site itself. And that's an important thing to us. Number two, ConvertKit uses a vendor as well. They use Mailgun, okay? So if ConvertKit were to be our primary email source, we'd have a vendor on top of a vendor, and that just doesn't work. It's not an easy problem to solve when you're looking at a partnership. That would also drive up the cost of email to you, even though we have an opportunity, since we're selling the entire platform, not to charge you as much for email. And I think if you look at the pricing list compared to MailChimp, AWeber, ConvertKit, Infusionsoft, they're not going to be able to touch us, especially as your list grows. So that, I don't want to emphasize cost, but it doesn't hurt to pay less when you succeed by growing your email list. And then finally, the choice of FeedBlitz. So like with ConvertKit, we have a relationship that effectively provides our email servers, okay? And we chose FeedBlitz for a couple of reasons, even though, as with ConvertKit, the power beyond those servers is really in the functionality within the SaaS itself, okay? We chose FeedBlitz because they have the highest deliverability that we could find. And that's because Phil, the founder of FeedBlitz, he's an engineer. He's an old school C++ guy. His servers are pristine. And deliverability is something that some people don't think about when they sign up for email. You're kind of wowed by functionality or interface or whatever. But if your emails aren't getting through, then you're kind of spinning your wheels there. So that was something that was important with our discussions about choosing a vendor for the server level stuff, that those servers had the highest rating of whitelisting in the email industry. Also that Phil had personal relationships. He can get someone on the phone at Yahoo, and he's done it to fix problems that have popped up, Google, Hotmail, whatever the case may be. And then finally, I think this was probably helpful, given that Phil's engineering expertise in the email level, he worked with us for 2 years when we needed those servers to be able to provide output by API or otherwise that we couldn't get. He did the work for us. So it's a very good relationship. I just would caution you into equating Feedblitz with Rainmail, because they're very different services with very different target customers. But I'm glad we're on those servers, because I know that part is solid and that's what matters.
Yeah, and if you've been with us for a long time, you'll have seen that we've used almost every email service out there. We haven't just landed on this all of a sudden. It's been a long, arduous process for our own email, because we have to send hundreds of thousands of emails, and we've been let down time after time. So it was a very, very considered choice, and the fact that we can get the CEO on the phone and he can make a change that day for us means that we know we can give you the best.
Yep. Alrighty, moving on to the next question here. Can actions and segmenting be triggered by clicked links within an email, and when an email is or is not opened? And related to that, can marketing automation formulas be used for people who are not registered on the site? And the answer to this is not yet, but soon. And Chris, I'd like to bring you in here to kind of give us maybe an update or some insight on when these features will be updated.
Yeah, so we've been working through a roadmap, and obviously we've always recommended this logged in experience, but we know that not everybody's going to be logged in. So the next phase of marketing automation is that they're going to be able to trigger whether they're logged in or not. Obviously some things will only happen if somebody registers or logged in. That's an event that is isolated to those. But being able to add somebody to a list, take somebody from the list, that's a subscriber action, not a member action, so that's going to be expanded to include those. But also, marketing automation isn't just those formulas. I also regard being able to tag somebody, be able to do a tag and a redirect. Those are also kind of marketing automation, where you put an email into out to your list, and the subscriber clicks on the link, and that's a personalized link for them that gets them to do an action. That's also, for me, marketing automation. So you're going to see a lot more of that soon. And I think it's going to be very useful. We've got some practical slides coming up, and Jared's got some examples of how he's using marketing automation right now. Just imagine that you don't have to be logged in for that experience to happen, and you'll see how valuable it'll be.
Yeah, I'm so excited to start using these features once they're ready. And again, we'll show some more examples of this as we go. Next question. You can see all of your Rainmail lists across your different Rainmaker sites that have Rainmail activated. Are they billed separately, though? This is a great question. And the answer to this is no, they are not billed separately. So if you have one Rainmail account, you can access your Rainmail account across different sites. So like I have mine activated on the assembly call. I could activate that very same Rainmail account on Primility and keep separate lists, but it's all under one Rainmail account, but I'm only billed once. So that's an important distinction there to make, that you can see it across the different sites, but you're only going to be billed once through that one Rainmail account. And then related to this, if the same subscriber is subscribed to multiple lists within the same site, within the same Rainmail account, are they counted as multiple subscribers or one subscriber with regards to billing? And the answer to this is that the same email address on multiple lists is counted as one total subscriber for billing purposes. So it's not like, you know, I've been on providers before where I've had one person there on two lists and now that counts as two subscribers. It's not like that. You can have one email address on 10 different lists and that person counts as one subscriber when it comes to billing, when it comes toward that 999 subscribers that's included, obviously, and beyond. It's just
and unsubscribes are not included, so it's only the people you can email. And I discovered that I'm paying for a lot with another email service provider. I'm paying for a lot of people who are unsubscribed, so I need to go in there and delete those. with ours, you only billed if you can actually email them.
Yeah, it's kind of a waste if you're paying and you can't even email.
Here's an interesting question, guys, that just came in. I think it's good here, but the question is RainMail list-centric like MailChimp or Constant Contact or tag sequence-centric ConvertKit? And I would say, although you can make as many lists as you want, it is tag and sequence-centric because that's just so much easier to manage when you start getting into different sequences and tags that send people on different paths. Chris, do you want to touch on that?
Yeah, your subscriber has to be on the list, though.
Well, of course.
You have to
have at least one list.
So, because like Jared also asked, it's like, well, can't I just email this tag? No, they have to be on a list, and then the tags differentiate those people within that list.
Well, you couldn't tag them without them being on a list anyway, unless they were a member, I guess.
Yeah.
A member only.
Yeah, so the main difference is you can't email a tag. You have to email a list and then say, I want the people who are on this list and also have this tag. But after that, it's very tag-centric, yeah.
You can say, I'm going to email this list, but only this tag. That's the more important thing.
Yes, without the people who have this other tag.
Yeah, that's suppression, segmentation suppression. You can do everything. That's why, I guess, when the earlier question, are we philosophically aligned with how ConvertKit does things? Yes, and I think they do a good job of it. But you guys can benefit from the integration with the website instead of an outside service in two ways: adaptability and cost.
Yeah, and I will just add to that it is certainly, I think, tag-centric, but you can set it up with lists if you're more comfortable that way. And I think you'll see when I go through some examples with the assembly call, since I migrated those lists in, and there are kind of some legacy lists there, and I got comfortable working with it that way, I still use it in that way. And that, to me, when I was on MailChimp, I was frustrated by the lack of tagging, and when I was on ConvertKit, I was frustrated by the lack of lists. And I think with RainMail, you can get the best of both worlds and really set it up in a way that works best for you, which is really, really nice. Okay, so moving on. Can the opt-in confirmation email be customized? The answer to that is that at the present moment, no, but this is in the works and is coming in a future Rainmaker platform update. Right, Chris?
Yeah, so right now you can, as we said before, you can upload a logo so it's branded according to your site. But right now Dan is working and it's being tested for you to be able to...
Someone had a question. They were confused about what a confirmation email is. So why don't we just back up and make sure everyone understands what we're talking about here. Like a confirmation email versus a welcome email versus the first email in an autoresponder sequence.
Okay, so the way we do single and double opt-in is the first time somebody enters your account, your entire RainMail account, they have to confirm that they're a real person. So they can't just put mickey@disney.com and expect to get all the goodies because they have to click a confirmation, but that's the first time to your account. So if they sign up to your newsletter or to your blog, they click confirm. Any future opt-ins after that, they don't have to confirm because they're already in your account as a subscriber once. So that is just to confirm that email address exists and it works and they've tagged it incorrectly and they really wanted this. So you can't put in Brian Clark's email onto my cat fan list so it gets feline facts because Brian wouldn't confirm that.
Right.
Yeah, and just to give an example of that, so I've had people who have subscribed to Further, my kind of personal email newsletter, it's not really a commercial project, that they found because of unemployable, and they were concerned that they didn't get the confirmation email because they didn't have to opt in. They were already a subscriber. So I just have to play with my messaging on that. But, to the person who asked this question, you're familiar with signing up for an email list, and they said, okay, one more step before we send you the goods, click this link in the email I just sent you, right? That's a confirmation email. And then the next email that comes would generally be known as a welcome email, where you're reiterating what they're getting and what they can expect, and maybe a little bit more about you, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and I have a screenshot coming up.
That's probably the best place to talk about that then.
Yeah, I was going to say, I have a screenshot coming up, Brian, that shows a way to kind of include that messaging, just so that if, for people who are already subscribed, so they don't think, like, where's the confirmation email? So I'll show that in one, in an example that we have coming up. Okay, so moving on to the next one. So can you go over some design stuff? So right now I have two different needs for my messages. For one list, I'd like to have regular old plain-looking emails. For the other list, I'd like to do some fancy pants stuff like Brian does with Further. Any way to accomplish this having two different designs? Okay, so the answer is yes, and my question back to you is how about three? And so let me show you how you can actually do that, have three different designs that you can toggle through using Rainmail. All right, so if you go back to your Rainmail settings, and again, the gear icon to email, that will take you to your Rainmail settings. You will see an option to choose a default template, all right, and you can choose from just a basic template. You can add a sidebar that will run along with your emails, and you can choose a custom template. And so what you choose here is what the default will be, okay? So when you go to set up a broadcast email, this is what the default template will be. But the nice thing is you're not locked in to just one template, okay? Because once you go in, and this view that you're seeing right here is from setting up a broadcast email, one of the tabs is for template. And so let's say that for this email you want to just use your normal default template. Great. You go in and just choose. You don't even have to do anything because it'll have your default there by default. But if you want to, say your default is a sidebar, and instead you just want to go basic, you would choose basic. Or maybe you have a custom template that you only use for, you know, this one specific newsletter. Then for this one, you would choose your custom template. All right. And let me actually, I'm going to go out of the slides, and I want to take you into the back end of one of my sites and just show you how this works. And so I set up a little test email earlier today, a test broadcast email right here, so that I can show you this. And this is a test of an actual email that I sent out earlier today using Rainmail. And so as I go in here, again, I can choose from these three templates. So typically, I just use a very basic template for my emails, not a lot of fancy stuff going on with it. All right, but let's say, and so if I keep it on the default and I look over here and test, I can get a quick view of what this email generally is going to look like, okay, as you see me scrolling there. If I choose sidebar, now if I go over here and look, you see that the sidebar popped up. And so I've got that sidebar saved in there, so I can use it anytime I want it. And you'll notice that once the sidebar comes in, now it might do, you know, some funky things to your images, and so you may want to change the main area. It may change how you have things laid out, but you can see that there. Or for a custom template, and I haven't actually set up a custom template on this site yet, but I just changed the custom template background just so you could see it work. So you can toggle back and forth really easily. All right, and I just want to make note, and I'll make note again in the future, it's so important with email, make use of the test email, okay? Because how things look right here, this is going to give you a good approximation, but whenever you're going to send out an email, you want to see it inside the email client on a mobile device, especially if you have images in there. So always send the test emails, especially as you're using different templates, so you can make sure that you see exactly what it will look like. And then let me take you here to the settings so that you can see where you set up your sidebar and your custom template. So again, if you just choose basic, you've got that right here. If I choose sidebar, you'll notice that down here a little sidebar section popped up, okay? And this is where I've got my sidebar. I can edit it via the visual editor. I can edit it via the text editor. And if I go back to basic, this will go away because that's not my default. But don't worry, it's still saved in there, and you can toggle back to it when you're on edit broadcast. And same thing with custom. So if you want to do a totally custom template, you can do that here. There are some instructions right here that include a couple of tags that you want to make sure that you include. But same thing, then if you choose not to use that as your default, it won't be there, but it's saved, and it'll be available for you inside of your broadcast email. Chris, is there anything else to add there when it comes to design and kind of switching through the different templates that are available?
I think you covered the main things. What I would encourage you to do, though, is send test emails to any email recipient that you can, so you can check it in Gmail, you can check it in Outlook, because the fancier you get, the more chance somebody is going to see something weird, right? If you,
Let me ask you this. What does the sidebar template look like, say, on an iPhone? Someone just asked that. And I have my own custom template, and I they're not expensive, and it's probably the best option. But let's say someone wants to use a sidebar template. Do we know how that views? You know,
yeah, Rafael worked on them to be as universal as we could get it with, without going back to a 1976 dump terminal. You know, obviously that is a foundation, and as Brian's done, you can get a really fancy one made for you. But the built-on best practices, even the example HTML in the custom one, if you took that and modified it, you'd have a better foundation than going completely from scratch.
Yep. All righty. And then we had this question too. How can I add padding around my Rainmail images? And so this one's really pretty simple, and I went in and did a test of this. So you just want to add this to your image tag, and you can do it using the HTML editor. Just add this style equals padding. And let me show you exactly how that works. So if you look at the email right here in the visual view, you see this image over here, and it's just kind of got normal padding around it. And let's say that you want to add a little bit more padding to it. If you just toggle over to the text editor so you can actually edit the HTML, just paste that little piece of code in right there. And you can see I, instead of the XX, I have 50. You're probably not going to want 50 pixels of padding. I'm just doing it for demonstration purposes so you can see it. But then same thing, send yourself a test email so you can actually see how it looks, and you can see it pushes the text way out there. So I may say, whoa, I don't want quite that much padding. Let me draw it back to about 10 or 15 so it looks a little bit better. But that's how you do it. And you can go in when you're doing your emails. You have that granularity of being able to edit it in a mode similar to how you're creating a post or a page. So it's in a very familiar kind of reassuring environment there for editing, and you can get as granular as editing the HTML too, so that you can do things like that really simply.
Hey, do we know explain the process for when you want to use a custom template, because someone was asking. I mean, basically, when you want a custom email template, you just find a designer, they make you one, and then is it a self-upload, or does services do that?
You just paste it. Yeah,
paste it.
The email template is just a box.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah. So, yes, Andrea.
Sure you would just paste it right here.
Yeah, yeah, of course, okay.
But services would be happy.
That's all you do, Andrea. You get a designer to, you don't have to do it yourself. I can't, but it's also not expensive to create a very simple email template with some CSS that, in my case, it exactly matches what a post looks like, and I love that. And I'll talk a little bit in the future about what I used to have to do before I switched over to Rainmail.
Yeah. All righty, so moving on here to the next question. Any chance that we'll be able to assign a Rainmail list to the opt-in form widget in the near future? So the answer to this is you can actually already assign a Rainmail list to a content area using forms. And I know why this question gets asked, because that opt-in form widget is there. And so it seems like the simplest option to drag that in and be able to use Rainmail. And Rainmail doesn't currently work for that, although, as Chris will talk about here in just a second, Rafal is working on some really, really cool forms that you'll be able to use. But don't think that you can't use the widgets yet, or the content areas yet, because you can. And let me show you real quick how you do that. So the first step is just to go in and create a simple form. And this is the exact form that I have on my site for people who join my free newsletter. And it's super simple. There's a little text introduction, a field for their email address, and then a Join Now button. And then if you toggle over to the email marketing settings right here, now you can dictate when someone submits this form which email marketing provider you're using. So obviously I'm using Rainmail. And then which list you want them to go on. So just by submitting the form, they're going to go on that list. And then to add that to a content area, there's a forms widget. So just drag the forms widget over into the sidebar, and you can scroll down and you can choose whichever form it's going to be. And you can also just put a short code in there if you'd rather do it that way. But that's a real simple way to utilize content areas for email capture right now. And then, Chris, did you have any updates on what Rafal is working on with some of those email forms?
Yeah. What Rafal's working on is a full email form feature, and that's going to allow you to even copy the code so you can paste it into, if you've got a second website that's not on Rainmaker, you'll be able to have people sign up to your Rainmail list from that other site and be able to set all the settings for that. So that's what he's working on, and it's going to be better than the solutions we've got right now, but the solutions we've got right now do work.
Alrighty, on to the next one. So it seems like people signing up for a free membership on my site will still have to double opt in, and we talked about this before. Any chance this will be resolved in the future? And so the answer here is unlikely. And what I would say is, remember, as we mentioned, only brand new email addresses must double opt in. So if you have someone who's a subscriber and then they become a member, or say a prospect who becomes a customer, those people won't have to opt in again. It's just as Chris mentioned, that first time to make sure it's a real person, they're going to need to do that double opt-in. And the thing about this is one of the reasons why Rainmail deliverability is so high, is because of this and because of, you know, there's not, you don't get as much of the riffraff in there. Make sure that your lists are clean, and I think that's actually a big benefit. Brian, anything else that you want to add about this, or maybe anything different that you have to say in terms of if this will be quote-unquote resolved in the future?
Well, think about other registration and access concepts, social media, a freemium app, whatever. They all want you to double opt-in, because if you don't set it up that way, they get the free stuff without ever providing back the confirmation that this is a real email address. So Twitter does it, Facebook does it, LinkedIn does it, every software developer around does it, because you want that confirmation. Now, the alternate way of thinking is, well, I'm trying to decrease friction, but what you're really doing is starting off the relationship, I think, on the wrong foot, because you want to bring these cold prospects closer and closer and closer to you. But if you begin with a bad email address, you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot. So double opt-in is still the industry standard for very good reasons, and it's for your benefit, not necessarily just theirs.
Yep, agreed.
Yeah, and you can't just look at your raw subscriber numbers and say, oh, my subscribers went down because I'm forcing double opt-in, because how many of those emails can you actually email? How many of them bounce? How many are making your account look bad in terms of deliverability?
Yep. Alrighty, so this next question says, I'd really like a step-by-step outline of how Brian uses Rainmail to broadcast his weekly newsletters, further.net, unemployable, to his list. Brian, I will step out of the way so that you can provide that.
Well, Further is, again, it's a personal project. I've never tried to make money with it. I don't know if I ever will. So I'm using pretty much just bare bones functionality with Rainmail. I'm not doing the access and registration thing at this point. I probably will at some point in the future, but the reality of personal projects is they get attention last. Now, Unemployable is a little different because it's my project, but it benefits the company from a commercial standpoint. So I'm promoting the platform and Digital Commerce Academy and all sorts of other stuff. And so there, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see that I do have a registration concept with a free video course, and that concept will evolve as I start adding more regular premium kind of content. The pitch will basically be register to get instant access to video lessons plus our monthly free webinar or something like that. And then the idea to add a no thanks, just send me the newsletter is something I talked about on a podcast episode with Joanna Weeb, because I took a strategy that she likes to use, which is make them choose yes or no. I did, you know, as a psychological thing, that when you push that no thanks button, you're actually losing something, right? In this experiment, I wanted to position the newsletter as, of course you want this, but do you also want this? And I'll have to ask you for just one extra, you have to create a password and tell me your first name, right? Overwhelmingly, 5-1, maybe more, people choose the registration concept. And I haven't split tested it yet against just registration. I'll get around to doing that. I'm about to start doing a lot of stuff on Unemployable because I do have a membership concept, and I do, you know, have a multiple kind of persona audience. So some people identify as freelancers, some people identify as coaches, consultants, entrepreneurs, small business owners, and all of those self-identifying ways of thinking can allow me to create an adaptive content experience with the newsletter. A certain type of person won't want freelancer articles, right? Because they have a startup, or, you know, you get the general drift of it. So that's the stuff I'm going to be implementing now that I'm over on Rainmail, and I can start using the surveys and quizzes to get people to self-identify, start using tags. And just to explain, I sent a link to, for those who were lost on this, but a tag is like a category of a blog post, right? So you have a piece of content about email marketing, and you have a whole bunch of different categories because you talk about online marketing all the time. So you're going to tag this one, let's say, how to build your email list, traffic strategies for building your email list faster. So you tag email marketing, landing pages, maybe SEO, maybe social media marketing, right? Because the post is about all those things, even though the core topic is email. So tags are the same way, except with all sorts of demographic, geographic, psychographic information that you can determine from your audience. You can tag them by, just like a blog post, by what are they interested in? Where did they enter the site? What did they sign up for? You can tag them as being interested in that. You can do quizzes and surveys where you ask them to give a little bit more information after you've earned some trust. Each of those is a tag. So it's a CRM concept, really, and that's why Mr. Garrett will tell you about how we're working towards having true functional customer relationship management capabilities in Rainmaker. I mean, that's really where email is going next, and that's more the realm of a HubSpot or a Infusionsoft, and yet again, we're going to be able to keep that much more affordable, certainly than you'd be paying those companies. So that's kind of an overview strategically. The great thing I love about Rainmail is I was on AWeber before with my list, and like I said, from a design standpoint, I wanted the email to look just like the post. And so I had a custom template over at AWeber for each publication. I always create the post first, and then I basically have to take that code, the post itself, the text version, not the visual portion, copy and paste into the AWeber content interface. And then I'd spend a good 10 minutes cleaning up the crap. It just didn't translate cleanly. I had to take out all the spacings were all off. There were strange characters. And I don't think someone like MailChimp has these problems. They've always been really good on their templates and design and whatnot. But that was my experience with AWeber. So now when I do the same exact process, but it comes out exactly the same on the first try. All I do from the post to the email is I add an H2 version of the headline above the image so that it's in the subject line and then it again is in the template. I add a read on unemployable.com centered beneath the image. So some people prefer that, number one. And number two, if I do have some sort of email rendering problems, I'm not aware of any since I switched to Rainmail. With AWeber, Yahoo subscribers, it was always a mess. It never came out right. So you always want to, that's kind of a best practice to provide a direct quick link to the web version, which you know at least is controlled across browsers and all that kind of thing. So I hope that kind of answers the question. Further is pretty straightforward, but Unemployable is really my playground for seeing what I can squeeze out of Rainmaker, much like Jared is doing with his sites.
Yep. All righty. So, and then in a related question to this, someone asks, imagine the scenario where Brian published additional posts on Further.net during the week, but only wanted his list to get the regular once-a-week post, i.e. not all the posts in his RSS feed. Is this possible? And the answer to this is yes. And let me show you real quick how to do this in the back end. So I'm going to show you again an example from one of my sites. And on the assembly call, we send out a weekly deal on IU gear. It's an affiliate strategy, part of the way that we earn revenue to the site. And so let's say that I want to send this out via blog RSS. Okay. So I would go into my email list and click this button right here for edit list. And when I do that, it will bring up the list options, okay? And you'll notice here, if you click a check mark and turn on RSS feed for this list, this field will pop up. And so what I've done here is I've put the category feed. So it's not my main feed, assemblycall.com/feed. It's the category feed. And so what this means now is that when there are posts that come out with that category, they will then be sent to this list. So that way, people who are subscribed to this list will only get those posts. They won't get everything that is put out there. And Brian could do the very same thing with Further and just have, if he wants to send those out via RSS, just have maybe, you know, further.net/newsletter/feed and make sure that those are categorized as newsletter, and then he would be able to send out just those but not everything else on his site via email. It's a great question and a common use case. And that brings us to use cases and examples, because one of the questions that we got often is, can you cover some basic use cases? And I know, you know, looking in the questions, we have some people asking about those. And so it would obviously be impossible for us to cover all of them, but both Chris and I have put together some basic use cases that we're using on our sites. And hopefully they'll kind of give you an overview of some of the different ways that Rainmail integrates with other Rainmaker functions, and just, you know, in jog your mind, your ideas for things that you can do. And so, Chris, we're going to do your use case first. So I will hand it over to you to kind of walk us through this, and then we're going to go through with screenshots how you're actually implementing this.
Yeah, so we're talking in this particular example about my hobby blog, which is makerhacks.com. And it's something I get to in a flurry of activity, and then it goes quiet for weeks and months. So not everything I want to go out to my email, and that's been a problem in the past. But also, even though Brian's approach of handcrafting his newsletter is the best way, I know that I'm not going to do that, and they need to go out automatically, even if they don't look as good. So I set up a tag, and that is going to be just the stuff that has to go out to the email. And at the same time, I'm setting up a sign-up incentive, which is a free membership, which is a how to build a robot course. And again, I didn't want to do double the work. I didn't want to be having lots of sequences and lots of emails, because I knew I wouldn't do that work. So I need somehow to maintain both at the same time. So I'm tagging members. When somebody signs up as a member, I set them as a tag, and so I can treat those differently on my list, which means the autoresponder criteria can say, don't send this to members, do send this to members. So I can incentivize people who are just on the list to get into the membership, and the ones that are on the membership, I can incentivize them to engage with it, which means that I can also use the marketing automation to then send them a special sequence just for the people who engage with the robot course. So that sounds very complicated, but it's doable, right? So the last thing I wanted to do is I want to see, there's many topics that I'm going to cover, from 3D printing to electronics, Raspberry Pi, Arduino, all these things that are just terribly geeky. I want to see what people are really interested in. So I had this popular 3D printing quiz. I want to see which of my members, which of my subscribers are actually engaging with that. So I put a tag on that blog post. Anytime somebody has the subscriber cookie or is a member and they go to that, they're going to get tagged to say that they're on the quiz. And I can send an email suppressing quiz people to send people to it. And I can also send an email to the people who did engage with it to say, okay, what were your results? Are there anything you were confused about? Did you get any questions wrong? Or was it too easy for you? And then I can see if this is something they're going to be interested in.
Okay, so there's the objectives. Now let's walk through how you're actually doing it.
So when you do a tag, and you can click on that tag in your blog post, and you can see an example that I did last night just for this. If you see the tags with, tagged with on the blog post, I just created a new blog tag called newsletter. If you click on that, it'll send you to all those posts that are tagged with that tag. You put feed at the end, and you have a special RSS feed. And RSS is just a way of syndicating that content, which if we continue, we can see that is the feed that I can paste into that box. So the default is everything. Everything I publish on here, I want to go to this blog broadcast, but I don't want that. I just want anything tagged with newsletter. So they can all be categorized as normal, but just like sometimes you tag something as featured or important. I can tag this as newsletter. So only these posts go out to the email, which means that in between those ones that are solid, meaty content, I can just do the tiny post, which might just be a photograph of a new gadget that just arrives, or it might be me musing about something. I don't want it to go out to the email. They're just in between posts, just me thinking about something. I only want the stuff to go out to email that people are going to respond to and really enjoy. And as you can see at the bottom, when people sign up and they join this list, I also add them to my autoresponder, which right now is just a welcome. But as I mentioned before, I can suppress and include messages based on their tags. So I can encourage them to join the robot course or to take part in the robot course that they already joined. So I've not got two sign-up boxes on my site. They sign up to the email. Everybody gets that. And then after they join the email, I encourage them to join the membership. Or through advertising, I can send them straight to the membership, knowing that they're still going to get all the emails and they're going to get encouraged to participate in it. So that's what an RSS email looks like. It's got my logo, and it's just the snippet at the top of the article, very basic. It's not as nice as Brian's, but it's automatic. And so that's my generic autoresponder that just says, welcome, and you know, go ahead, click through to get started with the robot stuff, and this is what to expect. But then in the autoresponder, I always encourage everybody to have a welcome email. But what I'm doing is when they register for the free membership, I'm saying that they're a member. So I'm just tagging them as a member right now, not tagging them to say they're interested in the robots or anything as granular, just saying they're a member, yes. So I can broadcast and I can put in the autoresponders specifically to those people. And so I set this registration successful as a thank you page. So when they sign up to my free product, my free membership, they get taken to registration successful, and that's where that tag is.
Hey, before we go forward, I wanted to touch on something that had come up in a few questions and I meant to cover during my part, but that's about list migration. My lists were migrated from AWeber. We've had other people migrate from just about anyone else you can imagine, including Infusionsoft now, which is probably the most complicated, but definitely doable. And we don't just have an upload, you know, interface for your list. You do have to contact support or services really to do it for you. But someone, I forget who, said they didn't have a week or two to wait for that to happen. Do we know what the turnaround is to get that done? I mean, I know mine was in a day, but then again, I'm the CEO. So
yeah, Daisy might be the best to provide some insight there.
Yeah, Daisy, what is reasonable to expect for migration of email lists?
We're working for within 3 business days right now. Usually it's faster than that.
Yeah. So you want to just set up your process, because I'm trying to figure out what we did first, but remember, when you're moving list over, you're not really losing anything until you shut down your account and delete your list at the old place, okay? So I think what I did was I sent my list to Daisy first, and then I waited for her to get it done. Then I changed the forms on the website to switch over to the mail list away from AWeber, and then I sent over a supplemental list of the people who had subscribed through the AWeber form in the last several days right after I changed the forms, and that means I lost no one. And then you just keep the backup list, you know, if you're paranoid, you know, for a week or so to make sure everything's fine. But in that process, you can do all the steps that have to happen to completely move over and not really lose any downtime. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And we have a slide, actually, that will cover this a little bit later. And, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the future, that will be built into the dashboard, being able to import. Right now it goes through services, but that will be built into the dashboard in the future, in a future release.
Nothing's been set right now, but we've been talking about having an option, if you don't mind a confirmation email going out, having the import capability. Mm-hmm. What we'd never want to do is allow somebody to just pick up somebody's business card at an event and then put them into the system onto a list without any confirmation going out and then us getting marked as spammers. So even though they're registering for a free membership, I'm putting them onto the MakerHacks blog list, the same one that is just sign up for the blog. And ordinarily that would seem a bit clumsy, but because I can include and suppress, I'm going to be okay with it. That's yep. That's the vision right now. I might come back to you and say, hey, I made a mistake, but so far that's my vision for it. And this is in the autoresponder how we can see who they are before we send them an email. So on the left, I've got the example subscriber, which is me, my example subscriber, and I've tagged as member, member equals yes. So over on the right-hand side in the autoresponder criteria, for that one message, not the entire sequence, just that ready to build a report message, I can say, are they tagged as member? If they're already tagged as member, I can send one message. If they're not tagged as member, I can send a different message. So I want to send people who aren't registered to go ahead and register. The people who are registered, I want them to take part.
Yep.
And so this is my blog post with the quiz. I just went back and added a tag member, tag is quiz, value equals yes. I just want to know that they took part in the quiz. And then, as you can see on the right-hand side, my example subscriber again says quiz equals yes. So then I can send a broadcast and say, hey, I saw that you joined the quiz. What did you think about it? And then the people who didn't, I can say, did you check out the quiz yet? How well did you do?
Yeah, and I'm glad you put this use case together, Chris, because it really shows tagging well, because what I'm going to show is a little bit of a different approach to doing this. And I will say this about tagging, that, you know, tagging segmentation, this is one of the areas that we're really going to dive into more on some future webinars to really show you how this works, how it all fits together, and show you how to actually do it on your site. Let me walk through my use case here, and I'm going to show you some stuff that I've been doing on the assembly call, which has really accelerated our growth and accelerated our revenue too. And we have a bit of a different revenue strategy over there. It's not there's not products, but we're much more sponsorship based and donation based. And what I've been doing since I brought things over to Rainmail has helped out a ton. And so, my number one goal was to maintain a newsletter only option, because we've always had just a free newsletter, but really start encouraging my audience to register for memberships, which also includes the newsletter. So it's a part of the membership, but I wanted to keep those two separate, in large part because of what I saw Brian was doing on Unemployable, with having that kind of extra option. Plus, the assembly call lists have always been list-based, and so I've got that legacy list there that I have to work with. And so this will be a good use case for you if you're going to be migrating lists over. The other thing is I wanted to have two separate autoresponder series for the newsletter and for the membership, but never allow one email address to receive both simultaneously because there's overlap, and so I'll show you how to avoid that. I also wanted to include a certain type of post, so these Deal of the Week posts, as part of the membership, but keep it separate so that people can unsubscribe from that but still get the other emails. And there's also a way to do this with tagging, but I'm going to show you a way to do it with lists. And then also wanted to use my short codes, show to and hide from, on premium blog content to increase the perceived value and drive registrations, which I'll show you, and then also use marketing automation to delight members based on their action. So let me show you real quick here. When you look in the list, okay, so this the newsletter list was my original legacy list, and then the free member list is my new one with Rainmaker. So I had to figure out with my import strategy and how I move forward how to maintain that original list while still moving forward with the members. And you can see a certain portion of people have, you know, gone over to the membership, but still the majority of our people like staying on that original newsletter, and I want to keep that option available for folks. So the one thing I'm doing now is pushing the membership, okay? And so I'm going to show you just a really quick example of adaptive content, and I'm using the Digital Pro theme, okay? And so right there in the hero section at the top, I've got a very simple call to action. You can either watch our show live or you can join now. And this is what people see if they are not logged in. All right, but if I'm pushing the membership, then I've got to give people a better experience when they're members, right? That's why they're becoming members. And so this is the exact same part of the page, but for logged in members. And that's really simple to do using the show to and hide from short codes for that access level. So if you're a member and you come here, you can go right to your member area. All right, it's not telling you to join now because you don't need to see that anymore. Okay, now, the other thing that I've done is I'm using one of the site notices. The pop-up site notice is for people who are not members. They will get this site notice, and I'm going to show you in a little bit how you actually set this up. But here, same thing with how Brian is doing it with his, giving people two options, either yes, tell me more about membership, or no, I'll just subscribe to the email newsletter instead. So they get one of those two options that they can choose from, and this has really helped me to drive registrations. And I know people have been asking about different services that you can use for this, and we'll get to a question about that in a little bit, but it's actually built into Rainmaker to allow you to do this with a pop-up feature. So talking now about the autoresponders. I've got two separate autoresponders set up, all right? One for the newsletter, one for the membership. And I think this is a pretty common example. If you think about either you have a subscriber list and a member list, or you have a prospect list and a customer list, it would be the same theory, really. So if we look here at the membership list, okay, when people become members, I'm redirecting them to this page, member content. And we're going to do some things with that page, so remember that. And I'm also subscribing them automatically to the free membership autoresponder. And that's all done in your Rainmail settings when you go in and edit the particular list. Okay. Now, when someone visits a page with this ID, and that ID 5539 is the ID for member content, what happens is they are then unsubscribed from the IU Hoops newsletter sequence. Because a lot of our folks start out on the newsletter, and then they end up taking a call to action in the autoresponder and becoming members. Well, when they do that, as they hit the member content page, and they can only hit that page when they're redirected there after becoming a member, now they're removed from the autoresponder using the marketing automation. So they can't get, they can't be on both autoresponders at the same time. So that helps to alleviate that problem. Now I want to show you this view of the autoresponders, and this is both autoresponders right here. This will give me a chance to show you a couple of features here within the autoresponder. So one of them is if you look over here on the right at my newsletter sequence, okay, so for each of these I've got a welcome message, and then if you look at this one, I'm showing you another example basically of how you could prevent people from getting both messages. So as you see here, if the recipient is not subscribed to the free member list, then they will get this email. If they are subscribed, they won't get it. So it's kind of a fail-safe right now, but it would be an alternate way to kind of prevent that problem from happening. And one of the reasons why I want that to happen is you can see I've got some overlap in my autoresponder. So this message right here, it's a similar message that I want going out to both, but what's in the message is different. So in this one, there's a call to action to join the membership. But obviously, in the membership sequence, there's not going to be that call to action. So same thing here. You know, if they've already gotten the email in the newsletter sequence, I don't want them getting it twice because it's still basically the same message. And so what I've done is tagged this email, all right? And now if they have seen, if they are tagged with this tag, if that tag is yes, then they won't get this email. So that helps to prevent the overlap there. And you may say, well, what is the benefit of having this separate autoresponder sequence for your members? Well, I want to personalize it. And I want to be able to use some of my short codes, some of my member short codes, to be able to personalize these messages, which I can't do over here yet, but in the future we'll be able to do. And so I've got here, I can add their member name and use other short codes and other ways with the membership features and the marketing automation features to do that. So that's kind of how I have them split up and how I have it set up so that there's no overlap there. Because A, then my members would be getting messages they don't need, which is unnecessary and might just annoy them. So an alternative here, as Chris mentioned before, for this one autoresponder, if you want to do one autoresponder for members and non-members, then you could just use your tags. And you could have one autoresponder and using tags dictate who gets it and who doesn't. So if you're tagging your members, then if they are tagged as a member, they will get a specific message. If they're not, they won't. That's an alternative way to do it if you're going with more of a tag-based approach.
Yeah, and that's only if the timing works out, because obviously if somebody joins your list and then 6 months later joins the membership, they might have already missed all of the, hey, welcome, you know, kind of stuff that the members were getting. So you just have to make sure that the timing works out. Or in the membership like I'm doing, if they actually engage with it, then you trigger a new sequence that's just for those people, that's tied to their lessons, you know, like if it's a course or something.
Yep.
Yeah, and also let me point out that you don't necessarily have to do this way, because I had two lists for unemployable, as we saw, out of necessity at AWeber, And then, so we brought them over as two lists. But what I can do right now is contact services and, well, first tag all the member list member, then ask services to combine the two lists. So non-member people are just subscribers, and I could tag them as subscriber, and then I could send them email only encouraging them to become a member. So you can still go from multiple lists to a tag concept fairly easily, as long as you think through how you need to label everyone and how they need to be combined. But that's not a complicated thing. And then at that point, I would have autoresponder sequences like Jared based on their tag, not on a list.
Yep.
Yeah. But when I work out what I'm going to sell on MakerHacks, I'm probably going to have a customer list and a prospect list just because that's traditionally
how customer list is a third list.
Yeah.
Or a second list, right? So what you're saying is when they're a customer, you don't want to use a tag. You want to make that its own list?
Yeah, when I have a customer, I'm going to tag them with what they've purchased, but I'm going to have a customer list. And when I send a broadcast to get people to sign up to whatever I sell, I'm going to suppress that customer list. And I know everybody on that already purchased it. So that's just my future planning for how it organizes in my head. But as we've seen, there's several ways to organize the same thing. And that's the cool thing about tags and suppression.
Yeah. It's the flexibility. Yeah.
It is. And you know, what I'm going to talk about right now, you could do this with tags as well. And so, again, you know, example here, you know, we send out these deal of the week posts to members. It's included in membership. Members are aware that they're going to get these when they sign up. They don't care how it all works on the back end. But I want them, if they don't want to get these deal alerts, I don't want them to have to unsubscribe from the whole list because they may like everything else. And you may find something similar. You may send out promos and you want people maybe to be able to unsubscribe from promos and still keep, you know, your educational messages or vice versa or whatever it may be. And so the way that I set that up is that, you know, I've got my individual lists here. And again, these are just the lists that I migrated over with. And so same thing, when someone visits this page ID, and that's the member content page that they come to after they are become a member, they're automatically subscribed to this list. And you could do the same thing where you tag them in a certain way, whatever way works for you to denote that they're going to start getting these emails. Okay, and so what I wanted to do then is offer people a way to get out of it. So if you go to the member content page then, I have two buttons right here. As people scroll through and they can see all the content available to them as free members, if they click on this link right here, they're immediately unsubscribed from those deal of the week messages. And if they ever want to subscribe again, they can click that link right there. And that's set up using marketing automation. And inside of the emails themselves, because we know that's where most people unsubscribe, because it's on a separate list, if they just decide, hey, I want to unsubscribe because I don't want to get this particular email, now they're unsubscribing from the deal of the weeks, but they'll still be able to get the other messages that they probably wanted anyway. And so that's one of the reasons why I wanted to set it up that way and why I wanted to point out to people, you know, be very upfront. If you do not want to receive these alerts, then just easily opt out using the buttons below, but you'll still keep getting all of the other content so that they feel comfortable doing that. And that gives them the ability to tailor their experience based on their actions and explicit decisions. You know, the other thing too is exclusive content. And what you find is that, you know, when you, you know, refer to your content as premium and set it up behind a membership wall and obviously it's got to be good content that you put time into, there's a higher perceived value on that. And you're going to drive membership signups that way. And so if you look at this, this is a full post right here that would be viewed by a member, and this is actually an example of a deal post. Well, if you're a non-member and you view this, then this is what you're going to see, right? So you can't actually get to the deal. It's member only, and now people can either log in or, again, you're encouraging membership and encouraging them to then get on that email list, get on that autoresponder using the built-in elements of Rainmaker. And then finally, the reason why I want to do that, why I want to drive members, is I want to use marketing automation not just to, you know, learn more about my customers and be able to, you know, get them the right pitch and the right call to action at the right moment. I also just want to delight them. And my favorite part about what Rainmaker allows me to do is being able to use marketing automation to delight my members. And so I set up a number of these. This one is for the forum. So after a person visits the main forum page 20 times, meaning they're a pretty active member, they're doing a lot on the site, I send them this quick email. And it's just a really simple subject, hey, got a sec? And I just thank them for visiting, let them know that on behalf of our team, we appreciate their activity, and ask them a question. And I put this up 4 or 5 days ago, and I've already gotten 4 or 5 responses back to this email where people have, you know, let me know, you know, things that they like, things that they didn't like about the site, ways that we can update it. And what I have found for us, again, one of our main ways of making revenue is donations, is that people who have responded to these emails that are sent via marketing automation have ended up being much more likely to become donors in the future. It just adds that personal experience because the email comes from my name. I always respond back to it, and so you'll have to figure out if that scales for you. But it's really been a great way for us to personalize the experience and just develop our relationship better with our audience. And there's no way I could do this one-on-one every single time. The marketing automation allows me to do it based on the actions that they're taking, and then I can come back and respond after I see, you know, what they've done, what email they got, and I know how better to tailor my one-on-one message to them too after they reply.
Yeah. Hey, Chris Staples just asked a really good question, and Jared, you may know this as well because you're farther ahead in implementing your triggers and tags and all that, but is the same concept available if you just tag someone with gear of the week or whatever the case may be? Can they unsubscribe from a tag, or is that why you have separate lists?
That's why I set it up that way. I didn't know another way to do that. Maybe Chris does. I didn't know another way, and that's why I did it that way.
Right now, the unsubscribe at the bottom of an email is for the list. And if they click unsubscribe, they're removed from the list. What I think like a preference thing, are you interested? I think it would be best to say interest equals deals and then replace that with interest equals not interested, or have in future we'll be able to have remove tag, right? So I think lists is the easiest way to do it right now and the cleanest, but you can modify the tag, what the tag value is. So like the autoresponder example is a good one of, you know, you can actually base the autoresponder filtering off what they're interested in based on the content of the tag, not just whether they have the tag or not, but actually what's the text in the, you know, favorite color equals blue versus favorite color equals red. But I think we're going to have an entirely different session just dedicated to taggings, because there's so many complicated questions about tags that I could just geek out for 90 minutes just on that.
Yeah. So, and my question to you after, you know, we've gone through our use cases is what will yours be? You know, how are you now going to use Rainmaker, use Rainmail to help you, you know, build a better relationship with your audience and move forward with what you are doing with your site? And that leads us to our fourth section. And these are kind of less frequently asked questions, but these are great questions and really got a lot of really interesting tutorials here as we go through. And again, I've seen some of these questions already come up, and they're going to get answered now as we go through this section. So here we go. The next question is, so does Rainmail mean I can now use the platform for my own domain's business email? And we got this a few times. This person, you know, says they run it from their current email server through SpamRS to Outlook, yada, yada. And the answer to this is Rainmail is for email marketing, and you can send emails from your business email address. So, you know, your name at yourdomain.com. For me, it's jared@assemblycall.com. But Rainmail doesn't replace your inbox, so you're not, you know, receiving emails and managing emails like an inbox in Rainmail, and you still need to choose an email provider when you set up your domain. So many people use Google Apps for this, for example, but I did want to make sure that we covered this because we've gotten it a few times. Chris, anything else to add to this just in terms of kind of that distinction between what Rainmail is and what it isn't?
I think you covered it. I think it's important that you do have your name at your domain, not just for deliverability, but also for your authority and your branding. And I personally use Google Apps. I have all of my email, like Copyblogger, Rainmaker Digital, my own email addresses, my MakerHacks email, it all goes into one Google Apps account. And I can send as all of those people as well. So it works really well for me for that.
Yeah, I think I'm still using GoDaddy for mine.
There's no email marketing service that also provides business email. That's typically a hosting add-on, but of course we use Google Apps for everything. So yep. BrianAtFurther.net goes through Google Apps to the Gmail interface, which I've been using forever and don't want to leave. But my emails from Further and from Unemployable actually come from that same email address, so people can hit reply and actually talk to me.
Nice. All right, next question. In my few limited tests, it seemed that the default setting of my Rainmail broadcast emails go directly to spam or promotions in the Gmail tab. Is there something I can do on my end to improve deliverability other than create awesome content that people want and will sign up for? That's a given. So glad that you put that in there, because that is obviously the first point, is you've got to create content that people want. So they'll take a few steps to get it, because here's the answer to this, is that there are some things that you can do in terms of providing clear instructions for your subscribers, but action has to be taken at the subscriber level. And so for anybody, if you want to paste this URL into your browser, this is an example of my confirmation page when people become a member. If you want to go see what I do, assemblycall.com/go/rainmail-webinar. I did a duplicate just for this webinar so you could see it. But I'll show you a few screen caps here. And Brian, this gets back to what you were talking about earlier with people who sometimes freak out because they don't get a confirmation email. So when someone becomes a member, when they subscribe, either one, you know, you've got to continue with the messaging that got them there, okay? And so you want to be really clear about what they should do next. And so for mine, you know, I thank them. I've got a little animated GIF here of a big shot in Indiana history, just, you know, because I want to delight people. But also, I want to catch their eye, because if they look at this animated GIF, which they will, right below it in big red letters is, now do this to make sure you get our emails, okay? And then I walk through a three-step process. So step one is check your inbox for a subscription confirmation email. And I've got a screenshot of exactly what that email looks like, so they don't have to guess. They know exactly what they're looking for. Then the next step is I actually tell them, click the link inside the email with arrows to the email, to the link, so they can actually see it. I don't want to take it for granted, right? And as I mentioned, if you were already subscribed to the newsletter, then you won't need to do this. That way they know and they're not freaking out and looking for a confirmation email that's never going to come. But you can go to the next level. So you can even suggest that they add the email address that you're sending your emails from to the contact list. And again, be clear. So let them know if you're using Gmail, which is obviously very popular, click the down arrow to the right of the reply button and choose the sixth option from the top and give them a screenshot right here so they can actually see this, right? And then finally, I tell them to teach their email provider what to do with our emails. And, you know, Gmail in particular, you can, if their emails are going in the promotions tab, they can drag them from promotions to the primary tab, and a little message comes up that says, do this for future messages, click yes. And so all of this is on that page so that they can see this, so they get it. And I've even got a little kind of, you know, strategic image placement here so that it draws their attention right down there in hopes that they see it. So, you know, there's nothing you can do on the back end to improve this. You're with, you know, obviously a provider that takes this very seriously, as we already said, and has excellent
deliverability. Well, yeah, but this is best practice for every email service.
Right.
Google does not discriminate on who goes in the promotions tab. If you're sending out, you know, email to more than one person, which is what we're all doing, there's a good chance it's going to go in there. So this is really a great example, Jared. I've got a similar approach on my pages. The only thing that's Rainmaker specific is there is this capability that if they're already on a list of yours that they don't have to opt in again. So that would be the only thing that you kind of take into account. That how do you do that, Jared? I don't see that on the screenshot. That what if there isn't an email in their inbox for confirmation?
Yeah, I let them know that right here, and maybe I can make it even bigger. If you're already subscribed, then you won't need to do this.
That would be the key information, because I've had people that were concerned that they didn't get the confirmation email. So we may have to play with this.
We can do a short code for that page that checks the subscriber status to see if the.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to look at that as something to get in, because we've had a few questions about that. So it makes sense for me as an adaptive thing to know if they're already opted in somewhere in the system, and then.
Yeah, that would be smart. And I would also like to add that Chris and the devs are working on an interface for push button short code entry. I mean, short codes are like the simplest kind of the dreaded C word, but we want to make a platform where if you need a certain functionality, you just push a button. You don't even have to copy and paste. I don't know when that's coming exactly, but I know it's important to all of us so that we don't have to look up a code or whatever. It's just going to be some way where you know what you need done and you identify it in an interface and you push it and it's inserted where you want it.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'm a nerd, but I forget the parameters. It's like somebody said to Dan, I want to change the button text on the quiz. And I said, oh, we need to do a feature request. And Dan says, you already can. And I was like, nope. So a lot of the stuff that we have can actually do more than I know because I don't know the parameters. So we definitely need to have that.
All right, the next question. I enjoy using Opt-in Monster for visitor-led actions to opt in. Is there any roadmap for this or a workaround so I can start using Rainmail over MailChimp for the site? So I showed you an example of this before. Let me dig in a little bit more. And I'll also say that I know, you know, full SUIME integration will be coming at some point in the future. It's not imminent, but at some point in the future. Plus, Rainmaker has a built-in pop-up feature already that I'm using. Okay, so I showed you this example before where this pop-up will come up and people can either go click on the link to go join or they can get the newsletter instead. Let me show you how you do this. So if you go up to Manage and then go to Site Notices, that will take you to this menu. And this is where you can create one of these site notices. So the content is where you'll obviously put in all of your content. And then if you go to pop-up settings, this will allow you to set some of those parameters, like, you know, pop this up when people scroll down 25%. So you can dictate, you know, when they're going to get this pop-up. You can also put your display settings so that it only comes on certain types of content. So for this site, I only wanted it on our blog post and on our podcast episodes. I don't want it popping up on the home page. There's other page, you know, I don't want it popping up on, you know, the about page if they're trying to find out information about us. I want it to come on the posts that get the most social media activity because that's where new users come from the most for us. So it's a strategic decision. That's post and podcast episodes. The other thing I love about using the pop-up notice inside of Rainmaker is that you can assign membership groups to it. And so, you know, again, if you look at this pop-up, I don't want my members getting this because it's just going to annoy them and they're already members. There's no reason.
Isn't that the worst when you're already on a list and you go to the site and you get hit with a pop-up? I mean, so that is a brilliant application of the membership concept over just subscriber. You know more about them and therefore can adapt the site to not be a pain.
And
I also want to point out that I don't know if you saw the announcement, but starting in January, Google's going to start penalizing sites, specifically in mobile, with obtrusive pop-ups. Now, in true Google fashion, we don't even know what the parameters are, what's acceptable, what's not, but you can count on the fact that we will be identifying what the parameters are of acceptable use. I've seen some really great slide over concepts that are much more attractive. I think SumoMe does it. And it's not even clear if Welcome Mat from SumoMe will be allowed anymore because it basically dominates above the fold. So Google, they're such a pain, but we will be monitoring the situation so we can give you advice on what's acceptable and then, of course, kind of build that into what the platform can do.
Yep. And to set that for the membership part, you just want to go, you know, for people who don't have member access to, and then whatever your member access is so that they will not get that pop-up. All righty. Is there a quick and easy way to schedule the web post of your newsletter to the site and then import into your newsletter autoresponder? So, Brian, you talked about this a little bit before. The way that I do this, I can show you. I mean, there is a quick and easy way to do this, and I just want to say, and Brian, you mentioned this, just be careful with email formatting because it can be a little bit different than a post. And so I did this just this past weekend. We send out a newsletter on Saturdays. It's posted on the blog and then sent out as a newsletter. And so I create the blog post first, and then you can just click this copy HTML button, and you'll be able to copy the entire HTML from your newsletter. And then when I go in to add a new email in the content section, make sure that you're in the text editor and paste it right here. And now in 2-3 really quick steps, you've got your newsletter into an email. And, of course, again, here you can set your template for whatever you want it to look like. But then this is so important, right, is don't skip this step of sending a test. So just because it looked a certain way in your blog post doesn't mean it's going to look a certain way in your email. For example, a lot of times I'll embed a tweet in the blog post version, but an embedded tweet doesn't look the same in an email. So I do it a little bit differently. I might actually, instead of embedding the tweet, save the image and upload the image directly so that it looks better in the email. So, and again, use the preview as a guide. Don't rely on it. Send test emails out and check them in different email clients. This is so worth the extra steps to make sure that your emails look good. And I do this every time I send an email. And maybe I overdo it, but to me, it gives me peace of mind, and it really makes sure that my email subscribers are getting the exact experience I want them to get when they open their email. And it doesn't take that much extra time to do.
Yeah, and I also use the test email to force myself to look at every aspect of that email, because you know you start working with content for a while, and then you start to make assumptions and scan and not really look. So I use that as my also last proofreading exercise, and there's been plenty of times where I've caught things in that final read through, but I'm reading in the email client so that I notice everything.
I never don't catch something. I always catch something to go in an update. So it's a great last step. Okay, if someone unsubscribes, does it unsubscribe them from every group or tag they are a part of under the account, or just that particular newsletter or group? And we kind of covered this before. It's just that particular subscription. So again, an example, you can go in and look at your individual subscribers. Okay, so if you go to manage and subscribers, you can actually look at individual subscribers and see what they're subscribed to. And so here's an example of how that whole sequence with my email list works, right? So I have people that are on the IU Hoops newsletter. This person then became a free member, all right? So they're removed now from the newsletter list. They're automatically added to the deal of the week, and they have unsubscribed from the deal of the week, so they're inactive there, but still active for the free member list. So, no, they're only unsubscribed from the specific list they unsubscribe from, not everything.
And the tags persist across the entire subscription. So just because they were tagged on the Hoops newsletter doesn't mean that you can't use it on the Assembly Call free member.
Yep, exactly.
So we don't delete subscribers who have unsubbed because we want to retain the tags and the CRM aspect of it, right? But we don't charge for them, which someone asked and I answered, but I just wanted to make that clear. One of the biggest mistakes you can make in AWeber, and I don't know if this is true of anyone else, was not to delete people who had unsubscribed because you're paying for them, even though you can no longer contact them, at least not by email.
And I've been keeping mine thinking at some point I might do this remarketing campaign on Facebook.
That's right. There is a strategic use of it. Chris, talk about that a little bit.
So you can export your AWeber list, and I was thinking I'll get all these unsubscribed and then upload them to Facebook as a custom audience and do an ad that says, hey, come back. But I found I haven't done that, so I've been paying extra for all these people. But it is a useful strategy. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to export all my list, then delete all the unsubscribes, pay less, and then use it.
All right, next someone asked, how does someone manage their subscriptions? Really good question. And the answer is that right now there's not a built-in way for your subscribers to manage their subscriptions, okay? But you can create subscription management for members using marketing automation. And this, what I'm about to show you, will soon work for non-member subscribers as well. And so, and I believe I showed an example of this earlier, but for members of my site, when they're on their member content page here, again, you know, let them know about these deal of the week alerts, that this is a member perk that they get. But hey, if you want to opt out, that's fine. And then make it really simple to opt out by clicking one of these, you know, clicking the unsubscribe button, or if they want to resubscribe, they can click that button. So how do you do that? Well, it's really simple. So you use marketing automation and you create a link with a specific ID. And so, for example, this link right here has an ID of Deal of the Week unsubscribe. So when they click on this, they are unsubscribed from the Deal of the Week newsletter. And I let them know, hey, careful, you're going to be unsubscribed immediately upon clicking. And then this redirects them to a page, and it thanks them for subscribing and even lets them know, hey, if you unsubscribe by accident, click here, and you'll be resubscribed again. And that's just reusing this link right here. So it's not built in yet, But you can use marketing automation, you know, on a member content page to give your users granular control of which lists they're a part of just by using these link IDs.
Yeah, and it's become apparent that a purely tag-based approach like ConvertKit, I guess, could really put you in a bind with being able to do stuff like this. On the other hand, a completely list-based approach could quickly get unwieldy, you know, when you can think of all the different ways you could segment people. So I think that this best explains the hybrid approach here. I still think of it as tag-driven, but I understand from Jared's examples that there are core lists that you're going to want, and usually I think Chris pointed out as well, the three that pop to mind are content can be all, they can go in any direction they want with all the tags in the world. Promos, you may want to have people have the ability to unsubscribe from so that they're still receiving your content and maybe decide to come back and entertain an offer later. And then customers or clients, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, and I should be clear, too, with how I'm setting this up. You know, some of these lists were lists I brought over, and so it was kind of already set up this way. Moving forward, I'm doing everything now with tags, you know, and so getting more into tags. But for what I've done so far, it's been a little bit more list-based. But, yeah, hybrid approach, like you said. Is there an easy way to have someone select more than one group to subscribe to, or do you have to onboard them and then use marketing integration formulas and such and such? And the answer here is if they are a member, then again, you can use link IDs and marketing automation as in the previous example. So that's how you could, again, allow people to select to be on more groups, to be on whatever groups they want, and you can set up, you know, whether it's by tags, whether it's by list, if you want to do email versus weekly or whatever it is, this is how you would do it. And you're using links, you're giving people, your users, the ability to tell you what they want based on explicit actions, you know, what they're actually clicking on, what they're doing. Can a Rain Mail mailing list be exported as a CSV file or to Excel? And the answer here is yes. And right now this is done by contacting support. And so you contact support, support@rainmakerplatform.com. And this will be built into the dashboard in a future platform release, right, Chris? We're working on being able to export your Rainmail lists out via the dashboard.
Yeah, as part of the CRM strategy, one of the things will be to be able to manipulate who you've got in there in your database, get them out, get them in, and change everything about them. So, yeah, one of the things will be to get them out as Excel or CSV.
All right, and finally, we have this big question, which allows us to talk a little bit about the CRM aspect, Chris, and so I will direct this over to you, but this person asks, can Rainmail be used to create and track transactional emails in addition to bulk emails and autoresponders? And so, you know, what this person is saying is, you know, what about one-on-one email conversations with a particular customer regarding such things as questions or comments, complaints about content, you know, other unplannable matters? And on the other hand, he's saying, if I have to use my personal email system for that, do you have any suggestions for best practices for coordinating between these other email conversations and Rainmail, tracking opens and clicks the way Rainmail does, seeing sequence of events in the relationship? And as this questioner says, the bottom line is that he wants to have a complete picture of his relationship with all subscribers, prospects, customers, and collaborators all in one place. How can or how will Rainmail help him to achieve that, and how does it fit into a bigger picture of contact management?
Well, we have the same situation, and so when we're looking at what we need to do, we want to roll it out for you guys as well. So one of the things that you'll have noticed is when we say contact services, usually we say contact support who will put you in touch with services, or there's some kind of a form that we send you to that says fill in this form and that'll send the inquiry. And the reason is because of CRM, we want to track that conversation with you so that we've got your entire history. So when support or services want to look into your situation, they know what we've talked about in the past. So we completely understand. So the CRM is going to need to have that history in there. So one of the things that we're looking at is the ability to be able to send an email to a certain contact, a one-to-one email to the certain contact, so that you've got that history in there and you can add the notes and everything. The other part we're looking at is integrations. And although we've only talked about Rainmail today, what we've said is it's a fully integrated system. So when we're looking at email, when we're looking at CRM and marketing automation, we're also working on the membership side. We're working on the underlying foundations, the API of the site. And when we've got an API, it means we can then integrate with things like Zapier. So you'll be able to use your Rainmaker site and integrate it into your other CRM systems through that. So that's not coming suddenly, but you know, we've got some high profile people who are begging us to have third party integration ability, because they have all these support ticket systems, they have the CRM, they have the sales database, or they have like different systems they want to tap into. So both of those are going to be kind of covered by the CRM, but you know, if you've got particular ways of working and particular workflows, I'd like to hear them, because that's what we want to build to your use cases.
Mm-hmm. Hey Chris, I know we talked about the email pricing list, and do we have an easy link to the pricing table? Sharon is asking about that.
Easy link.
Because I know it's like a pop-up on the site for new people.
Yeah. If Daisy can't find it, I will have her dig around, and I'll try and find it.
Yeah, we need an easy way. We should send that out by email to everyone so they can know. Mm-hmm. Why don't we plan on that, that we'll send out the price list when we send out the recording link? Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, save me making noisy typing.
All righty. So we've gotten through a lot of the questions that you all asked. Again, unbelievable questions. Thank you for submitting them. And so as we come to the end here, you know, you may be thinking now, what's the best next action to take? Because obviously we've gone over a lot of different things. So what's the best next action to take? And the answer to that is just going to be based on where you are. So if you haven't started yet, it may just be to set up your Rainmail account. And again, you get your first 999 subscribers free. So you can go into your dashboard, try it out, and get set up. The next step, if you've already done that, then would be to migrate your list. If you've gotten it, if you've got your Rainmail account set up, contact services at rainmakerplatform.com, and Daisy will be able to help you then get your list migrated over. If you've done that, then your next step may be working on your design. And again, remember to send yourself test emails to preview it live in an email client. I want to keep harping on that because it's so important. If you've done that, you may be ready to start creating your first tags, because it's you know, the earlier that you can start doing that and start using the actions of your customers to learn about them and be able to tailor content, tailor an experience to them, you're better off. And the first one to do may be prospects and customers. Those are two very simple tags to use that you know in the future, even if you don't know exactly what you'll do with them yet, you can create them now so you can start building the data. Maybe you've done that, so now your next step would be create an autoresponder. Okay.
Hey, one backup. You didn't mention that migration of lists is free.
Oh, yes, migration of lists is free.
Because we do have paid services, but we're not going to charge you to migrate over your email list, of course not. Is there anything else that any other bright line between stuff that is reasonably priced, because we're not trying to be an agency, we're just trying to help you, and then stuff we do as a function of support? So migration is the one thing that pops to mind, but I'm not sure if there's anything else.
Converting design into a theme would be a paid.
Yeah.
Right.
That's another reason why we encourage you to go through support, because it could be something that they just say, oh, you click here, or it could be, oh, yeah, services will do that, and that's free, or it'll be, we'll put a proposal together, and you know, we're not going to charge you on your stored credit card. We'll actually tell you that it'll cost this. And there is a menu of services coming, so we'll be able to send that out to you as well to say, this is what we can do for you. Mm-hmm.
Jared, also talk about stats. There seems to be, because it was left out of 2.6, I know you mentched it, but I think you need to go back over that again. Just
yeah,
show
I'll
how you go
I'll
to a
people.
Broadcast. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I'll just take one of these that I sent earlier today, actually. And so this is already sent. You can see it says published, so that's already sent. So if I click on edit for this, then the first tab that comes up will actually be the stats.
And so actually, can you just click on the headline, Jared?
Oh, well, yeah, you could do that too. Yes,
edit,
you can do that.
Edit seems counterintuitive. You just want to click on the headline, and the first thing you'll see are your stats, because that's the only reason I revisit an old email, certainly the first time, is to figure out how it did. So anyway.
Yep. Exactly. And then, you know, you can go back through and review then who you sent it to. And if you want to get the content, you know, that's important too. If you have an email and you want to use it later, or maybe you decide, hey, this worked really well, let me put this into an autoresponder, then you can go back into those old emails and get your content out really quickly. So,
yeah. And it's only broadcast emails right now, but we are working on autoresponder stats. They're a little bit more complicated just because we don't know when they might have opened it and things. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it is harder, but I'm glad we're doing that because, again, AWeber didn't offer that. I was always blind about my automated messages, and that's good data to have.
Yeah, it's really good data to have, especially find out what links people are clicking on and which ones they're opening so you know what to do with it. But anyway, in terms of the next actions, if you've created an autoresponder, then add a form or a membership checkout page and start building your list. And that's it. That brings the presentation to a close. Brian, any final thoughts here before we sign off for this session? And obviously, we're going to be planning future sessions to continue digging in, not just to Rainmail, but other Rainmaker features as well.
Yeah, as an overview, I can imagine that, you know, I've seen some comments where people are like, I feel overwhelmed in a good way, and there may be people who feel overwhelmed in not such a good way. Just remember, this is an overview so that you understand what's possible now and in the very near term, the improvements that we're going to constantly be making to Rainmail, not only as an email service, but again, as that integrated core of a powerful website with marketing automation capabilities. So as we go forward with these customer-only webinars, we're going to start breaking things up into more discrete, you know, topics so that, we're going to do this one thing today, right?
Yep.
And I think you'll really appreciate that. For email veterans, they get everything that was talked about in this webinar pretty much. They just had to know whether Rainmail could do what they needed or not. Okay, so just don't get overwhelmed.
Yep. Mr. Garrett, any final thoughts before we sign off?
We do these webinars for you, so tell us what you want to know, what you're confused about, what do you want to hear more about, and do let us know. And we will build webinars around that. And I know it's been a long one today, but hopefully the replay will help you. You can skip to the bit that you really want to see.
And some people have asked just for the slides. Can you make those available, Jared?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely. Cool. And we'll send out an email once the replay is ready. And again, you know, if you asked a question, you probably noticed that it made its way in here, unless your question was maybe a half hour before and I'd already finished the slides. But in the future, you know, we're going to keep opening up that form. Like Chris said, we want to know what your questions are. So definitely let us know, no matter how specific it is. That's what we want to know so that we can tailor these presentations to be as useful for you as possible. All right, and with that said, we wish everybody a wonderful day. Thank you for being here. We will let you know when the replay is up. Have a wonderful day, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, everyone.